A bright light beams from beneath a mound of fluffy clouds. A white Pegasus gallops forward out of the light. TriStar, a Sony Pictures Entertainment company. Green vapors swirl and form the word Jumanji in bright gold letters. The letters spin around a black center and vanish. Two boys are walking through a dark forest carrying lanterns. The screen reads 1869. They pull a tarp off a horse cart to reveal a wooden chest.
Don't worry, it's just a pack of wolves. Come on, we're almost rid of it.
Grasping the handles on the ends of the chest, the boys lift it off the cart and carry it between them. They look at each other, then throw it in a hole in the ground. As one boy reaches for a shovel, he falls in the hole.
Caleb, it's after me!
Grab on!
Caleb pulls him out.
Run!
No, Benjamin! We have to finish this. Come on, help me bury it.
Benjamin stares while Caleb covers the chest with dirt.
What if someone digs it up?
Caleb turns to Benjamin.
May God have mercy on his soul.
Later, the boys quickly drive the horse cart away. A flash of lightning illuminates a road marker which reads 1M, Brantford. A mound of dirt covers the chest. Cars drive along a curving street near a white-steepled church and red brick buildings. The screen reads, 1969, Brantford, New Hampshire. A policeman directs traffic. A boy rides a bicycle through downtown. Alan approaches the policeman, who stops traffic for him.
All yours, Alan.
Thanks, Bill.
Alan rides past a statue of a man on a horse with a sword at his side. A plaque reads, General Angus Parrish. Five boys on bikes with high-rise handlebars come out from behind the statue. Alan rides on a sidewalk past a person cutting grass with a real mower.
Prepare to die, Parrish!
Alan looks behind him and sees the boys chasing him.
Hey, Parrish! What's the rush?
Alan streaks across a lawn and onto a gravel road. They approach a large red brick building. A sign on it reads, Parrish Shoe Company, four generations of quality. Alan gets off his bike.
Good, Parrish. Come to Daddy. We'll be waiting.
Alan leans on the inside of the factory door. He climbs some stairs and enters a large room with a wooden floor. A man in a long apron walks by. Alan looks up at an office overlooking the room. It's empty. He walks past racks of shoes to a man with an afro.
Hi, Carl.
Hey, Alan, my man. I gotta show you something. Come here. Now, I've been working on this for almost a year, and I got an appointment this afternoon with your father to show him this. Go ahead, take it.
Alan takes the athletic shoe.
So what do you think? You think he'll like it?
What is it?
What is it? Man, this is the future. If I can get Wilt Chamberlain to wear them, I predict there'll be a pair of those in every closet in America. That's going to be the height of fashion.
Alan looks out a window and sees the other boys.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
Alan!
He puts Carl's shoe down.
Thanks, Bob. What are you doing here? I've told you before, this factory isn't a playground. It's dangerous.
Dad, can I have a ride home?
Alan, is Billy Jessup picking on you again?
Carl's shoe moves down a conveyor belt.
Son, you're going to have to face him sooner or later. Look. If you're afraid of something, you've got to stand and face it. Now run on, son.
The shoe passes into a machine.
Carl, you should know better than to let the boy play in here.
Sorry, sir.
What was it you wanted to show me?
Just a minute, sir.
He looks around for the shoe. The conveyor belt jams.
What the devil?
Alan watches his dad open the smoking machine and pull out Carl's shredded shoe. Carl looks around uncomfortably.
Who did this? Well?
Alan sneaks down the stairs, and Carl speaks up.
I did, sir.
Alan picks up his bike where the other boys left it lying in the street. The other boys run out from behind some bushes.
Just because you're perished doesn't mean you can hang around with my girlfriend.
We're just friends.
Not anymore. Get him!
The boys charge at Alan, who's standing next to the 1M Brantford marker.
Okay, I've got his bike!
The boys ride off, and Alan gets up with a black eye and a bloody mouth.
Jerks!
He wipes the blood off his chin. He turns toward a foundation being built nearby. He turns around and starts to walk away. He turns back to the construction site and walks toward it. As the construction workers hurry to a snack truck, Alan goes up a ramp, then down into the open basement. One wall hasn't been covered with concrete yet. He walks toward it. He puts his ear up to the earthen wall and listens. He claws at the damp soil with his bare hands and uncovers the wooden chest. He tugs on a handle, but it won't budge. He digs some more and pulls it out. He brushes the dirt off the top and looks around. He breaks the lock with a shovel and opens the chest. It's full of gray sand. He feels around in the sand and lifts out a flat box. When he tilts it toward him, the sand falls away, revealing a carved wooden box that says Jumanji.
Wow.
He starts to open the box and sees a construction worker looking at him. He quickly closes the box and runs away with it under his arm. Later, he walks up a long sidewalk to a large white house with pillars. He goes inside and shuts the door. He walks toward a curving staircase, then turns and goes into the living room. He sits on a sofa and opens the double-hinged top of the box. White squares forming four twisting paths begin at the corners and end up in a glass circle in the middle.
Neat.
He opens a small compartment and takes out two carved figures, an elephant and a rhinoceros.
Alan?
He drops them.
Are you home?
They each land upright in corners of the game board. He closes the box and shoves it under the sofa. His mother sees his bruised face.
Oh, Alan. Not again. Come on.
The box waits under the sofa. Later, Alan is eating dinner by himself. His parents enter the dining room dressed in formal attire.
Well, we're on our way.
Okay.
I told your father what you told me this afternoon, that it wasn't just Billy Jessup.
Look, if I'd known that, Alan, I wouldn't have.
It's okay, Dad.
But I want you to know how proud I am of you. I mean, you faced them even though you're outnumbered. And since you took it like a man, your mother and I have decided that you're ready to go to the Cliffside School for Boys, there.
Congratulations, sweetheart.
Alan looks at the booklet his father gave him.
You don't want me living here anymore?
Alan?
It's always been the plan that you'd go to Cliffside when you were ready. I mean, Parrish has been going to Cliffside ever since the 1700s. Even your Uncle Schuyler went there.
Look at this. Parrish Hall?
It's the main dormitory.
Alan takes off his reading glasses.
This is great. Can't drop my case here because I'm a parish. Just wait till I'm living in a building named after me.
It's named after my father,
good. Why don't you live in it?
I did. I wouldn't be who I am today if it weren't for my years there.
Maybe I don't want to be who you are. Maybe I don't even want to be a Parrish.
Mr. Parrish straightens his dinner jacket.
You won't be. Not till you start acting like one. Get your coat.
Mrs. Parrish gets her coat, and they walk away.
I guess I'm not ready for Cliffside then.
We're taking you there next Sunday, and I don't want to hear another word about it.
You won't! I'm never talking to you again!
He tears the booklet in two. His parents get in their car.
Sam.
Don't.
Sam.
What?
Inside, Alan is putting clothes in a suitcase. He scoops some money off a dresser. He opens a refrigerator and adds a loaf of Wonder Bread and some other food to his suitcase. He closes it and heads for the door. Then he turns toward the living room and gets the Jumanji game from under the sofa. His hand hovers over the brass doorknob. Then he opens the door. It's a girl.
What are you doing here?
I brought your bike back.
You didn't have to. I was going over to Billy's to get it myself.
I told Billy to stop picking on you.
You shouldn't have wasted your breath, but we gotta talk about this some other time.
He grabs his suitcase and walks past her.
What was that?
He turns around.
You heard it too?
Of course I heard it.
Come on. I found this really weird game in the factory.
A game?
They enter the living room. He takes the game out of his suitcase and opens it on the coffee table. They kneel on either side of it. He tries to move the rhino figure, but it won't budge. He reads the instructions printed on the game board.
Jumanji.
A game for those who seek to find a way to leave their world behind. You roll the dice to move your token, doubles gets another turn, and the first player to reach the end wins. You want to play?
I quit playing board games 5 years ago.
She drops the dice on the board and walks away.
Sarah!
The rhino is moving by itself. She turns around.
It's gotta be magnetized or something.
Ellen, look.
Words form in the glass circle in the middle of the board.
At night they fly. You better run. These winged things are not much fun.
They slowly look up at each other. They look toward the fireplace.
I don't know.
Put it away, Alan.
Okay.
He picks up the dice. The clock chimes 8 o'clock and he drops the dice onto the board. The elephant token moves.
Oh no. The game thinks I rolled.
What do you mean the game thinks?
He looks down at the circle.
In the jungle, you must wait until the dice read 5 or 8. In the jungle, you must wait.
Alan's fingers are pulled like taffy. A powerful wind pulls on his body until he's stretched beyond recognition. He's swirled into a cyclone and sucked into the circle. Bats fly out of the fireplace. Sarah brushes them out of her hair and runs for the door. She falls down. A bat sits on her shoulder and opens its mouth. She gets up, spins around, and runs out the front door with the bats following her. The white double doors with gleaming brass knobs slowly turn grimy and tarnished. The screen reads, 26 years later.
I think a bed and breakfast is just what this town needs.
Well, it was pretty hard to pass up, especially full of furniture.
Two women enter the house.
Boy, I keep forgetting how big this place is.
Judy, Peter, come look at this. I'm going to put a reception area right over in here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. A bar over here in the parlor.
The new owner runs from the curved staircase to the parlor.
That sounds lovely. I'm sure you and your kids are going to be very happy here.
Oh, well, actually, they're my late brothers. He and his wife passed away just last winter.
Judy and Peter, a girl and a younger boy, enter the house.
Is this something or what?
Judy looks around.
It sure is.
Judy's aunt frowns, then smiles at the realtor. Peter goes into the living room. He looks under the sofa and sees dead leaves.
So what do you think, young man? Is it big enough for you?
He stares at the realtor with his big brown eyes, then walks away. Judy approaches the realtor.
Peter hasn't spoken a word since it happened.
Oh. Oh, my. I'm so sorry. How terribly awful.
It's okay. We barely even knew our parents. They were always away. Skiing in St. Moritz, gambling in Monte Carlo, safariing in darkest Africa. We didn't even know if they loved us. But when the Sheik's yacht went down, well, they managed to write us a really beautiful goodbye note that was found floating in a champagne bottle amongst the debris. Excuse me.
The realtor frowns. As Judy walks into the hall, her sobs turn into laughter. Her aunt approaches the realtor.
They were very devoted parents. It was a car crash in Canada. So you send me those escrow papers? First thing tomorrow.
The aunt tries to unlock a door.
I'll have to get a locksmith out for this one.
Peter, pick up your toys, please.
She walks away, and Peter peeks through the keyhole into the locked room. He sees Alan's cobweb-covered bicycle.
Peter, take this suitcase up to the attic. Then we can all have ice cream and bourbon.
Peter enters the attic carrying a suitcase. He shines a flashlight around. A bat is hanging upside down and spreads its wings. Judy pulls a sheet off a painting and hears Peter. He runs out of the attic and drops the flashlight. His aunt runs up the stairs.
What? What is it?
I'm going to Motel 6.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Their aunt climbs to the third floor and picks up the flashlight. She peers into the attic. She slams the attic door. The next day, a van pulls up in front of the rundown mansion. An exterminator shines a flashlight around the attic.
I don't see any guano.
Judy shows him a picture in a book.
He said it looked like that.
That's an African bat. Some kid said you saw a bunch of those back in the 60s. But we don't get bats like that in New England.
But that's what he saw.
Well, whatever it was, it's gone now. Bats aren't what I'd worry about in this house anyways.
What would you worry about?
Well, personally, I wouldn't want to live in a house where someone was murdered.
Judy and Peter look at each other.
Murdered?
Yep. Little Alan Parrish. I say his father did it. There's 1,001 places he could have hid the body in this house. Especially if he chopped it up first.
Hey, up there! You kids don't want to be late for your first day of school.
The exterminator leans over the railing.
Not a bat in sight, ma'am.
You hear that? There's nothing to be afraid of in this house.
At the dining room table.
I can't believe I have to see your principal after the first day. What am I gonna do?
Judy looks at Peter and frowns.
You know, let's just try to relax and finish our dinner. Talk about something else.
Well, we found out why you got this house so cheap. 26 years ago, a kid named Alan Parrish used to live here. Then one day, he just disappeared. Because his parents chopped him up in little pieces and hid him in the walls.
Okay, that's it. I am sick and tired of your lies, young lady. You're grounded.
Judy leaves the table.
Fine, there's nowhere to go in this stupid town anyway. But just for your information, that wasn't a lie.
Judy's aunt wrinkles her forehead. Peter is lying in bed looking at a photo of his parents. He hides it under his pillow and turns out his lamp. Judy comes in and crawls in bed with him. He turns over and looks at her.
Did you hear anything a little while ago?
He pauses for a moment, then shakes his head.
Do you miss Mom and Dad?
No. Liar. If you don't cut that out, they're gonna send you to a shrink.
Where do you think they're gonna send you if you don't start talking?
He closes his eyes and turns away from her. She closes her eyes and snuggles up to his back. Their eyes open wide. The next day.
If I get held up at the permit office, I'll give you a call. School bus should be here any minute.
Their aunt pauses and turns around.
You guys still have your house keys?
They look up at the attic.
You guys listening to me? Hello? Hello?
What?
Maybe I should wait with you until the bus comes. Did your parents used to put you on the bus?
No.
Are you sure? I could drop you off.
No, don't worry about us. The bus will be here any minute.
Okay. Please be good today.
She leaves. Judy looks at Peter. He looks up at the skylight at the top of the spiraling staircase.
You do hear it. Hear what?
He steps away. They run up the stairs. They go into the attic and drop their backpacks on the floor.
Where's it coming from?
They look around at all the junk stored in the big, dimly lit room. They see a pile of flat boxes stacked on a chest. Under games called Probe and Kimbo, they find the Jumanji box. Peter opens it. The rhinoceros and elephant tokens are in the squares where Alan and Sarah left them.
Let's bring it over here.
They carry the game to where a shaft of light is shining through a small round window. Judy drags a crate into the light and Peter sets the game on top of it. He tries to move the animal tokens, but they won't budge.
Weird, they're stuck. Jumanji, a game for those who seek to find a way to leave their worlds behind. You roll the dice to move your token, doubles get another turn. The first player to reach the end wins.
Peter takes the other two animal tokens out of their compartment. They spring out of his hand and land upright in two corners on the board.
It's gotta be microchips or something.
He gets out the dice.
You go first. Okay. Six.
They watch in amazement as the crocodile token moves six spaces. They lean over the board and look at the glass circle.
A tiny bite can make you itch, make you sneeze, make you twitch.
Mosquitoes as big as birds swarm around them. Judy picks up a tennis racket and swats at them. She hits one really hard and it flies into the window. The other mosquitoes fly out after it. She tosses the racket on the floor and walks back to the game. Peter sits up and rolls the dice.
Don't!
He rolls two. The monkey token moves two spaces.
This will not be an easy mission. Monkeys slow the expedition. What is that?
Peter grabs the dice and they rush downstairs. Judy opens the kitchen door. Inside, a monkey is swinging from the light fixture. The children stare with their mouths open. One monkey turns on the stove and burns himself. Other monkeys are going through the refrigerator and cabinets. They throw, spill, and break things. One hurls an orange at the door. One throws a teacup at the monkey on the light fixture, and he bats it with a soup ladle. Another grabs some knives and flings them at the kids. They shut the door just in time. Peter holds out his hand with the dice in it, and they run back up to the attic.
I bet those monkeys came from the game. The mosquitoes, too. Uh-oh. I didn't see this part.
She turns the board around so she can read it.
Adventures beware.
Peter runs to the window and sees about 10 red-furred monkeys run out of the house.
Adventures beware. do not begin unless you intend to finish. The exciting consequences of the game will vanish only when a player has reached Jumanji and called out its name.
The monkeys are gone.
Good. Put it away.
Wait!
The instructions say if we finish the game, it'll all go away. We better do it, or Aunt Nora's gonna pitch a fit. We should just get through it quickly. I mean, there's no skill involved.
He hands her the dice.
No. You roll doubles. You get another turn. Roll!
5.
The monkey moves 5 spaces.
His fangs are sharp. He likes your taste. Your party better move post-haste.
I don't like the sound of that.
A lion's tail drags along a keyboard.
Judy, someone's in here.
Huge lion paws step on the keys. They stare at a dark corner. A lion shows his face.
It's not real, Peter. It's a hallucination.
They run out of the attic and down the stairs.
Run, Peter!
The lion chases them and leaps down in front of them. A long-haired, bearded man runs in. The kids run away, and the man faces the lion with a stone knife. The lion moves toward him, crouched down with its teeth bared. The man backs up. He swings his knife in front of the lion and looks up at a light fixture. He throws down the knife, jumps, and grabs the fixture. The lion runs under him and skids into a bedroom on a rug. The man shuts the door and the lion's claws poke through it. The man, wearing a short leather tunic, a cloak made of leaves, and a shell helmet, looks around the old mansion. He sniffs and opens a linen closet. The kids are hiding inside. The man steps out of the hallway and looks up the staircase. He runs around a corner to the locked door and rattles the knob. He kicks it open. He enters slowly, takes off his helmet, and smiles. He strokes the dusty, cobweb-covered bike. He walks past an armchair and a bookshelf to a closet. Hanging on a hook inside the door is the plaid shirt Alan wore to the shoe factory. He examines it carefully and sees some bloodstains. He walks to a dresser strewn with cobwebs and picks up a framed photograph. He blows the dust off of it. Holding an eyeglass lens to one eye, he looks at the picture of Mr. and Mrs. Parrish. Judy and Peter step into the room. He looks up at them.
Somebody roll a 5 or an 8.
Judy looks at Peter.
He did.
The man chases Peter out of the room. He picks him up and twirls him around.
Thank you. Sorry if I scared you. Thank you. I'm back! Mom! Dad!
He runs downstairs.
I'm home! I'm back! It's me! It's me, Alan, Mom and Dad! I'm home! I'm back!
He stops in front of Judy.
Are you my little sister?
No. I'm Judy and he's Peter.
Where's Mom? Is Dad at the factory?
Are you Alan Parrish?
Yeah. Who are you?
We live here now.
Where's my mom and dad?
We don't know. This house has been empty for years. Everyone thought you were dead.
He backs away. then turns and runs out the front door.
Sorry.
Alan runs down the sidewalk as a police car comes around the corner.
Give me that description again.
I said, red fur and long tail.
He runs out the gate and turns to look at the mansion. He backs into the street and into the path of the police car.
No!
He jumps onto the hood of the car.
Get down off of my car, please, and get up on the sidewalk.
What year is it?
It was brand new.
No. What year is it?
1995, remember?
95.
You got some ID? Oh, let me guess, you probably left it in the other Tarzan outfit, right?
26 years.
Are you from around here?
I was. But I've been in Jumanji.
Indonesia. He was in the Peace Corps.
Alan reads the policeman's name tag. It says C. Bentley. Officer Bentley frowns at him and takes the kids aside.
Carl Bentley, the soul
Is this man related to you?
Yes, sir. He's our uncle.
Does he always dress like that?
Well, yeah. He's a vegetarian.
Get out of there!
Monkey snuck into the car. They duck.
Monkeys! Monkeys!
Is he all right upstairs?
He suffered a head injury a few months ago.
A monkey pumps a shotgun and shoots it through the roof. Bentley turns around as the monkey starts the car and slides down to press the gas pedal. The car drives away. He chases after his car. Alan runs the other way.
Hey, wait a minute! Where are you going?
To find my parents!
Wait!
Judy and Peter chase after him. Alan runs past some discarded shoes and shoe forms. He stops and looks at the crumbling, abandoned Paris Shoe Company. He goes inside and runs up the stairs. Trash litters the floor of the once busy factory. Judy and Peter walk behind him. He looks down at a dirt-covered rectangular piece of cardboard. He picks it up and the dirt falls off. It's a shoebox lid with the parish logo. He turns toward the kids.
My dad used to make shoes here. They were the best shoes in New England.
He looks up and sees a man in his dad's office.
Hey!
He runs up some stairs and into the office. His smile dims when a man who is not his father turns around.
Sorry.
A dog gets up from a mattress on the floor.
Easy, girl.
Do you know what happened to this shoe factory?
Yeah, folded up. Like everything else in this town. It's pretty cold out there. How about some coffee?
Why would they close Paris Shoes?
Well, when his kid ran away, Sam put everything he had into trying to find him. His time, his money, everything. After a while, he stopped coming to work. He just quit caring. I don't think anybody loved his boy more than Sam did. Here.
He hands Alan some clothes.
You're gonna freeze out there.
Thank you. Are the parishes still around?
I see him now and then.
Yeah?
They're over on Adams Street.
A tombstone reads, Parish, Samuel Allen and Carol Ann. They both died in 1991. Allen kneels in front of it. Judy and Peter come up behind him.
Our parents are dead too. They were in the Middle East negotiating peace.
Peter nudges her and kneels beside Alan.
Our dad was in advertising.
Bet you miss him, huh?
Peter nods.
Me too.
Alan puts his helmet on the tombstone and walks away.
There he goes again.
They run after him. He's wearing the old pants and coat from the man along with his tunic.
I know you're upset and all, but I kind of feel we should finish the game.
Wait. Why do you need me?
Well, just in case any other scary stuff comes out. Plus, there's a lion in my aunt's bedroom. What am I supposed to do about that?
What do I look like, a ringling brother?
But she'll be home soon.
Won't she be surprised? I hope she's not allergic to cats.
They watch an ambulance drive by. A car swerves through some grass and into the street, crossing in front of the ambulance. The ambulance hits the car's rear fender. Judy covers her mouth. A paramedic runs to check on the driver of the car. He rushes back to the ambulance.
Larry, we need the wheels. Give me a hand.
Did we hit her that hard?
No, it looks like another one of those weird bites.
They wheel a gurney over to the car.
Yeah, it's another one, all right.
50? What the hell's going on?
Judy looks at the driver.
Easy now, easy.
Hey, look. Isn't that Mrs. Thomas? Who's the realtor?
Quiet. You hear that?
Hear what?
Get in the car.
As the paramedics load Mrs. Thomas into the ambulance, Alan and the kids get in her car.
Okay, think. What came out of the game before me?
There was a lion, a bunch of monkeys, and...
Peter points to a giant mosquito outside the car.
It's okay. It's okay. Just a bug. We're safe in here. See? We're fine.
A huge mosquito stinger pokes through the convertible's roof.
You have to stay low. You can't get through there too far, okay? Don't you worry. We're fine.
A mosquito's on the windshield.
Hey, he can't get it in here. He can't get through the glass. We're safe.
It chisels a hole in the glass.
Either one of you know how to drive?
No? Oh, that's no problem.
Well, my dad used to let me back the car down the driveway once. So what's the big deal?
Here we go!
Wait a minute.
He pokes the air conditioner vents and fiddles with the dashboard. The convertible top opens. Peter shifts the car into drive and they speed away with the rear bumper dragging. They careen around a corner and almost hit another car. They knock over some trash cans and hit a mailbox. They stop in front of the mansion.
Piece of cake.
The kids are pale and panting.
Yeah.
Alan gets out. In the attic, Alan sniffs a blue shirt and holds it up to his chest. He sees the Jumanji game.
Ah! Keep that thing away from me!
He gathers up some clothes and runs out of the attic.
When are you gonna help us play? We've gotta hurry, our aunt's gonna be home soon.
Well, good. You can inform her that she's the ex-owner of this house. Because I hope you realize with my parents gone, this home belongs to me.
He opens a bathroom door and sees toilet paper.
No more banana leaves.
Judy listens outside the door.
What do you think those monkeys are going to do to the ecosystem around here?
Just sit right back in here.
Hello?
Get started out on this tropic part of horses' tiny ship.
Judy and Peter walk away. The lion is lounging on Aunt Nora's bed. In the bathroom, hair falls around Alan's feet. Judy is sitting on the floor, napping in her overalls, and Peter's head is in her lap. Alan comes out dressed in his father's clothes and clean-shaven, with tiny pieces of toilet paper stuck to his face. They get up.
What happened to you? You shaved with a piece of glass?
What happened to you? The Clampets have a yard sale? What do you want? I've never shaved before.
Where are you going?
Alan eats an apple.
How about Peter and I play, and you just sort of watch?
Thanks. I've seen it.
So if you're not going to help us, what are you going to do?
I don't know. Pretty much take up where I left off. Wonder if Mrs. Niedermeyer is still teaching sixth grade.
He opens the refrigerator. A monkey jumps out, shivering, and runs out the door.
Come on, Judy. He's not going to help us. He's afraid.
They start to leave.
What did you say?
You're afraid. It's okay to be afraid. Let's go set it up in the living room.
Alan runs in front of them.
Now, you have no idea what you're getting yourself into.
Whatever it is, we'll handle it by ourselves. We don't need your help.
I don't think so. You think monkeys, mosquitoes, and lions are bad? That's just the beginning.
I've seen things you've only seen in your nightmares. Things you can't even imagine. Things you can't even see. There are things that haunt you in the night. Then something screams. Then you hear them eating. And you hope to God that you're not deserted. Afraid? You don't even know what afraid is. You will not last 5 minutes without me.
So, you're gonna help us?
I'll watch. I'm not afraid.
Alan leaves the kitchen.
Peter, that was very cool. It's reverse psychology. Dad used to pull it on me all the time.
Later, in the living room.
Ready? Yeah. Alan, ready?
There is no ready.
Alan closes the French doors into the hall. Nothing happens.
I'll try it again.
Still nothing happens.
Alan, it's not working.
He walks over to them, crouches down, and looks at the board.
Oh, no. It's not your turn.
Yeah. I rolled first, and then Peter twice because he got doubles, and now it's my turn again.
Now, look. Two of those pieces are yours, right? Who's the other pieces? Playing the game I started in 1969. I'm gonna have to play.
Judy offers him the dice.
It's not my turn.
Whose turn is it?
Sarah Whittle.
The three walk through an open iron gate.
This is where she used to live.
This place gives me the creeps.
They walk up a sidewalk to a house with stacked stone pillars and a big wooden porch.
We used to play on this porch.
A sign reads, Madame Serena, psychic readings by appointment only.
I knew she still wouldn't live here. I married Billy Jessup and they're living in a trailer park. Come on, let's go.
Well, listen, Staz, maybe she'll know where Sarah went.
Of course she'll know where Sarah went. She's a psychic.
Good point.
Judy knocks.
Remember the porch being a lot bigger, though.
Hello?
Can you help us?
Do you have an appointment?
No, we're just trying to find someone.
Well, Madame Serena can't see anyone right now.
Well, maybe you can help us.
The door opens a bit.
What is it?
We're looking for someone who used to live here.
No, I've lived here my whole life.
Well, then you must have Sarah Whittle.
She peeks out the door again.
What do you want with Sarah Whittle?
Sarah?
No, I don't go by that name anymore.
Sarah Whittle?
What do you want?
26 years ago, you played a game with a little boy down the street. A game with drums.
She stares at him.
Boy, Sarah.
Alan.
She falls over backwards. Alan pushes the door open.
You killed her.
Later, Alan carries Sarah over his shoulder and into the mansion. He puts the Jumanji game on the coffee table and opens it.
Whoa, God! And therapy, convincing myself that this doesn't exist. See what happened to you was so awful. I made up this.
Sarah, it was awful. It was awful. It was awful. It really was.
Crazy. It was real. No. It wasn't real, Alan. Your father murdered you and he chopped you up into little pieces.
Sarah, come on. My dad did that. My father could barely hug me, let alone cut me into little pieces. 26 years ago, we started playing a little game. And now, we're all gonna sit down and we're gonna finish it. And guess what? Your turn.
He puts the dice in her hand and sits across from her. She tries to give the dice to Peter, but he pushes her hand away.
Play the game, Sarah. Just give me the dice, and you can go home. You don't have to play.
Thank you, Alan.
When she reaches out with the dice, he pulls his hand back.
Oh, my God! How could you do that?
It's a long jungle, Sarah. You'll get used to it.
Well, I think all the energy I spent visualizing you is a radiant spirit.
Go on, read it.
The rhinoceros moves, and they lean over the board.
They grow much faster than bamboo. Take care, or they'll come after you.
Snake-like vines slither out of a hole in the ceiling.
Great.
Oh, God. Tell me this isn't happening.
Oh, it is. Stay away from the walls. Don't touch anything.
They huddle together.
No quick movements.
Vines ooze out of electrical outlets, creeping under rugs and wrapping around chairs. Leaves sprout and flowers bloom.
Wow, they're beautiful.
Oh, yeah, they're beautiful. Don't touch the purple ones. They shoot poisonous barbs. Definitely stay away from the pods, the big yellow ones.
What big yellow one?
A vine coils around Peter's ankle and pulls him under the rug. He comes out the other side.
Gotcha.
Alan grabs his wrists. They tug him away from the vine, which is coming out of a cabinet. The cabinet doors open and a big yellow pod bursts out. It opens into a four-pointed star.
Oh my God!
The pod closes and retreats, pulling the vine and Peter with it.
I'll be right back!
Oh my God.
Alan takes a display case off the mantle.
Sorry, Angus.
He throws it to the floor and lifts out a sword.
Harvest time!
He whacks the vine in two. Peter and the others fall back on the floor and the pod retreats into the cabinet.
Are you okay?
Sarah and Alan hug the kids. Outside, Officer Bentley runs down the street.
Oh my God! My car. Oh, my car.
It's slammed into a tree.
Carl, come in, please. Come in, please, Carl. Has anybody seen Carl?
I can't believe this.
Carl, come in, please.
Please, just...
Yes!
Carl. Carl.
Carl
here.
Where in heaven's name have you been? We've got a serious animal control situation on our hands here.
Well, you got to get Stan and Willie on it. I'm heading over to the old parents' place to check out a suspicious character. Open. I should have been a fireman.
He backs up his car. Sarah joins the others around the game.
Alan, please, last time I played this game, it ruined my life.
It ruined your life?
Yes.
In the jungle, you must wait till the dice read father.
I was a little girl, Alan. You disappeared. And a bunch of bats surrounded me and chased me down the street. I was afraid. I'm sorry, Alan. No one believed me. I was all alone.
So was I. For 26 years, Sarah.
Me too.
It's okay, Sarah. We're scared too. But if we finish the game, it'll all go away.
What if I get stuck in the game?
You won't. Because I won't stop playing.
And neither will I.
I won't either.
Peter holds out his fist, palm down. Judy and Alan lay their hands on top of his.
Come on, Sarah.
Please.
Sarah looks at Alan and lays her hand on top of his.
This is going to be a bad day.
Hey, come on. We'll be fine. We just have to keep our heads.
He holds Sarah's hand.
Roll with the punches.
She gives him a little smile and lets go. Alan picks up the dice.
Oh,
He stands up.
Make him feel just like a child.
What is it?
Van Pelt.
They drop to the floor. Alan runs with the sword as a man in a pith helmet enters with a rifle.
You miserable coward! Come back and fix me like a man!
He chases Alan down the hall. Alan throws the sword at him, and it hits a pillar near his shoulder.
Not good enough, Sonny Jim.
Coming pretty or not.
Alan runs out the front door, and Van Pelt fires at him. He shoots again as Carl drives by. He stops and gets out of his police car.
Hey, you!
Carl pulls out his handgun and crouches behind his car.
Drop your gun and get your hands in the air!
Van Pelt shoots up the police car at a streetlight. Alan runs out of sight. Carl shakes off broken glass and peeks over the hood of the car. Later, back in the library of the mansion.
What's the deal with you and this guy?
He's a hunter. He kills things, that's what he does. And right now he wants to hunt me and kill me, okay?
Why you?
Why me? I don't know. Everything about me he finds offensive. You think it'd be a waste of his time. Maybe he needs something for his wall, you know? A parrot,
it's your
something
turn.
To go between penguin and partridge.
Well, you ever thought about just sitting down and talking about your differences?
What, are you crazy? The man has a gun!
Don't ever call me crazy, Alan. Ever. Because everyone in this town has called me crazy ever since I told the cops that you were sucked into a board game.
Maybe I should roll.
Do you have any idea what it's like to be known as a little girl who saw Alan Parrish murdered? You think anybody showed up at my 14th birthday party?
Hello, I'm rolling now.
Billy who?
I'm gonna roll.
Well, what are you, an owl? What? Come on, Madam Serena, why don't you dig in the lower reaches of your higher consciousness and find the memory of your old boyfriend, Billy?
The little kid used to steal your bicycle?
No, the big kid who probably took you to the movies.
Don't be fooled, it isn't thunder. Staying put would be a blunder.
No, you're immature.
You are.
No, you're the one. I know you are, but what am I? Oh, right, you can't.
Did you feel that?
Alan walks over to a bookshelf. A small bust vibrates off the shelf. Books fall too. Alan turns around.
Run! It's a stampede!
They run out of the library.
The game!
Alan runs back and grabs the game just before a herd of rhinos burst through the bookshelf.
Don't look back!
Sarah looks. They duck into the parlor and watch the rhinos go by, along with elephants, zebras, and pelicans. They're huddled on the floor when the last pelican flaps down in front of them. It picks up the Jumanji game in its large beak. It scampers into the hall. Alan scrambles after it, but it flies out the gaping hole in the side of the house. Alan runs after it.
Why didn't you grab the game, Peter?
Just ignore him, honey. He's a Libra.
Where are you going?
Sarah and Peter follow him, and Judy answers the phone.
Hello? Judy, it's Aunt Nora. Where have you been?
I'm sorry, dear. You have the wrong number.
She climbs over the rubble and out of the house.
Wait for me!
A vine creeps out of the rubble and slithers out of the house. Van Pelt enters a gun shop. A woman at the cash register eyes his pith helmet and safari clothes.
What can I do for you?
What gross are these?
He tosses the shopkeeper a bullet.
You know, they stopped making these in 1903.
Damn. I shall need a replacement weapon.
Well, there's a waiting period. And you'll have to fill out these.
Van Pelt drops gold coins on the forms.
Or I could fill these out. Louise.
Louise puts an ammo clip in a machine gun and turns the open sign to closed.
Now, anyone asks? You didn't get this here.
He gives him another machine gun, and Van Pelt looks through its large scope.
You're not a postal worker, are you?
Sarah and the kids are walking beside a river.
Alan!
Quiet!
The pelican and the game are on a boulder near Alan. He reaches for the game, and the bird snaps at him.
Ow! Go! Ow!
He grabs a fish out of the water and offers it to the pelican. It catches the fish, and the game goes in the water. Alan reaches for it, but the current carries it away. Peter runs downstream.
Peter!
The game floats rapidly down the river. Alan follows Peter as he scrambles along the rocky shore. Peter climbs onto a tree trunk that's fallen across the river. Alan watches. Wrapping his legs around the tree, Peter hangs upside down and grabs the game just before it goes over a waterfall. Alan's smile fades. Van Pelt walks over broken tile on the floor of the mansion. He leaves the house through the hole in its side, and later walks through some woods. Alan and the others are walking along a country road when they meet Carl driving the other way.
Oh no. Act natural.
He backs up. The glass in his squad car is shot out and it's riddled with holes. Alan gives the game to Peter. Carl gets out.
I don't believe this. Every time there's trouble, I run into you.
Me? I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, I'm taking you in for questions.
I'm not going anywhere.
Carl twists Alan's arm behind his back and handcuffs him.
All right.
Van Pelt shoots, but misses.
Just a second. You can't take him. He's,
her fiancé.
Wait a minute. I thought you said he's your uncle.
Alan looks around and opens the car door.
It's all right. I'll be back soon.
Van Pelt watches through his rifle scope, then lowers his gun when Alan gets in the car.
Lost.
Remember you said you'd never abandon your friends?
We'll finish the game later.
Later?
Okay.
Huh?
Van Pelt.
I suggest you all go home now.
Peter opens the game at the side of the road and counts the spaces needed to reach the end, then picks up the dice.
Now how are we supposed to finish the game?
We can't. We can't finish it without him.
Judy!
They run over to him.
What?
What happened?
I thought I could end the game myself. I was only 10 spaces away. A law of Jumanji hadn't been broken. You will slip back even more than your token.
You tried to cheat?
No, I tried to drop the dice so they'd land on 12.
Oh, okay, honey. Well, that would be cheating.
Peter, your hands! Look at your hands!
Peter's hands are growing fur. Meanwhile, monkeys are running amok downtown. They watch a TV through a store window. It's showing the flying monkey scene from The Wizard of Oz. They scurry into the store. A man runs out and the monkeys follow him, carrying computers, TVs, and VCRs.
Hey, come in, this is Willie. They cleaned out Larry's Hardware and they're headed for Parrish Common. I can't stop them, Lorraine. You gotta get the National Guard down here now.
What is this about? I know you know.
Yes, I do. But you wouldn't believe me even if I told you, Carl.
Wait a minute. How did you know my name is Carl?
I know a lot more than that. I know you used to work on the stamping line at Parrish Shoes. They used to call you Soul Man.
Soul Man. Yeah, that's right. I was in there too, man, till old man Parrish fired me.
Fired you?
Yeah, man. And I had something I could have turned this whole town around.
Your shoes?
Right.
Listen, Carl. No, it doesn't mean much after 26 years. But I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Sorry for what?
Carl looks at him in his mirror.
It's me, Alan.
He slams on his brakes. Sarah and the kids get out of a pickup they hitched a ride in.
Thank you.
What's going on?
Well, apparently there's a sale. Whoa!
Three monkeys drive by on a police motorcycle. Hair is growing on Peter's face now.
You just saw three monkeys go by on a motorcycle, didn't you?
Yes.
Good girl.
An ATM doesn't work.
Well, maybe we can bail them out with a check.
Thank you.
Van Pelt grabs the cane.
Tell that sniveling coward from me if he won't.
A crowd runs by, and Peter grabs the cane and runs. Van Pelt chases him. He runs in front of a car. He runs around some people, then almost gets hit by another car. The driver gets out. People are running frantically through the town as they try to escape the animal stampede. Peter gets in the car and peers over the steering wheel. An elephant walks right over the top of the car, crunching down the top. Peter lies down in the seat, then wriggles onto the floorboard. Zebras run by as a rhino and another elephant walk over the car. Peter is pinned beneath the steering wheel. The herd passes, and Van Pelt strides toward the car. He pulls the car door off and tugs at the cane.
Give me that, boy!
He takes it. Sarah and Judy get Peter out of the crushed car and watch Van Pelt enter a store called Sir Save-A-Lot. They follow him in. The store is a mess and people are looting it. Sarah and the kids see the game on a counter. Sarah walks casually toward the game. When she gets closer, she quickly grabs it, and Van Pelt pops up from behind the counter.
Gotcha, girlie.
When Alan hears of your predicament,
he'll come.
You know, he doesn't even know I'm here, so this isn't gonna work. Your plan's ruined. I'm gonna get going.
He shoots into the ceiling.
Don't move, or I'll blow your blinking brains out.
Okay, okay. Call the cops!
That should do the trick, anything?
Oh, yeah.
Peter bites Van Pelt's leg. Sarah grabs the game, and Judy shines a checkout scanner in his eyes.
Right.
The cash register says no sale. Alan is still with Carl.
You let me go. I can stop all this. It sounds like something out of Twilight Zone, but it's true, all right? Please, you gotta help me on this.
I know I'm gonna regret this. All right. Just hold still.
He uncuffs Alan.
There. I'll let you go. Now what are we going to do?
Alan cuffs him to the car door.
You are going to stay.
Hold on my keys! Hold on my keys!
For your own good. You just stay there.
He throws the keys.
My handcuff keys! Wait!
This is something I have to do!
Alan!
You'll thank me someday!
Coming, Carl. Code red. Hostage situation at Sir Save-A-Lot involving woman and two children. Sounds like the armed perpetrator in the pith helmet khakis you reported earlier. Over. Carl? Come in, Carl.
Lorraine, come in! Lorraine!
What's Sir Save-A-Lot?
It's a discount store.
Wait.
Okay. Kathleen?
All right.
Kathleen.
All right. Wait, don't worry. I've done this before. Once.
Alan squeezes in with Carl. The car goes backwards, then spins around and speeds away. Sarah runs through Sir Save-A-Lot, dodging bullets. Peter, looking like a little werewolf with his furry face and hands, drags a canoe.
Where's Sir Save-A-Lot?
Monroe and Elm.
The Episcopal Church.
No, it's not a church anymore. Now it's Speedyburg. Or at least it was. I don't know what's left of it. People in this town are going loopy.
Judy!
Sarah pushes a shopping cart with the game in it to Judy. Peter drags some air tanks.
Uh-oh. We got company.
No. It's all right. That's just a traffic cop. He'll back us up.
The motorcycle pulls up next to them. It's the three monkeys on the police bike. One has a gun, and the one driving has a helmet covering his face. Alan looks at Carl and floors him. At the store, Peter pours liquid laundry detergent on the floor. Judy, carrying the game, sees Van Pelt. When he comes after her, he slips in the detergent, but doesn't fall. He sees Peter sitting on a weight bench wearing a welder's face shield. He covers his face with the shield and lets the barbell drop, knocking the valves off the air tanks. The tanks propel the canoe toward Van Pelt. He falls into the canoe, which slides down the aisle. Peter runs down the aisle, where he's joined by Sarah and Judy.
Here's the game.
Van Pelt climbs out of a hole in a wall. He shoots at a chain holding some tires. The tires start rolling towards Sarah and the kids. They turn and run, but the tires catch up and trip them. In the police car.
Turn the siren off, right there, right there!
Okay, I got it.
Okay!
At the store, Van Pelt walks past rolling tires and stands over Sarah and Judy.
Stop your cringing, woman. I could have shot you at any moment.
Then why didn't you?
You didn't roll the dice. Alan did.
There it is, there it is, there it is. Hit the brakes. Hit the brakes!
The brakes don't work.
Hit the brakes! He should be here any moment.
The police car crashes through the front of Sir Save-A-Lot. Through the toy department. Housewares. And hardware. It knocks over a tall shelf of paint cans which land on Van Pelt. Sarah gets the Jumanji game.
Sarah!
You're right.
Yes.
Where's Peter?
I'm here.
Alan sees Peter's furry face.
Oh, great.
Aunt Nora is driving down a country road.
So remember, circumstances are never, ever out of your control. End of tape 3.
She ejects the tape.
Update on the extraordinary events unfolding in Bradford, New Hampshire, where at least 98 people have been hospitalized with symptoms ranging from inexplicable fevers and rashes to violent seizures. Local resources have been strained to the breaking point, and state health officials are now asking anyone experiencing such symptoms to dial 911.
The animal herd stampedes in front of Nora's car at an intersection. She gets out. And a monkey runs up behind her and hops in her car. She gets back in and watches a lone rhino lagging behind the others. It looks at her and continues on. She drives on. The monkey peers over the seat and she drives off the road. Alan and the others are walking in our neighborhood.
I warned you about this, Peter. No, you wanted to play the game. What, are you crying? Don't cry, all right? You keep your chin up. Come on, keep your chin up. Crying never helped anybody do anything, okay? You have a problem? You face it like a man.
Peter looks up at Alan.
Deepest, darkest jungle, and I still became my father. It's okay. Come here. I'm sorry. Hey, it's all right. Remember what you told me? It's all right to be afraid.
It's not, Dad.
What is it?
Peter looks at the girls, then whispers to Alan.
Ready?
He rips Peter's pants, and later he's walking with a tail.
Don't worry. We're gonna have you turn back into your old self in no time flat. Because we're gonna go in here, and together, we're gonna sit down, we're gonna finish that game. No matter what.
The walls inside the house are covered with vines. The curving staircase stands amid the tangle of vegetation. A jungle mist rises from the floor.
Suddenly, I feel right at home.
Carl adds some brake fluid to his police car and closes the hood. It falls off. He gets in behind the shattered windshield, throws a toy out the window, and fastens his seatbelt. A light flashes door ajar because there's no door. He backs out of Sir Save-A-Lot as Van Pelt's paint-spattered hand reaches out of the pile of cans.
Lorraine, this is Carl. Yeah, I think I know who's behind all this. I'm heading over to the Paris place. Give me some background. Lorraine?
Carl sees Nora running alongside the road. She moves just before a vine reaches for her foot.
Wait! Wait!
Now what?
Stop! Wait, stop!
A tire blows out.
Is there a problem, ma'am?
Oh, can I have a ride home?
Where do you live?
Jefferson Street, the old parish place.
Do you have children? A boy and a girl?
Oh, my God, what happened?
Get in. I'll explain it all on the way.
Ah! Oh! Oh, my God!
A thick vine wraps around the car. Carl gets out. They watch the vine drag the car toward the woods. When it hits two trees, the car turns on its side, and the vine wraps around it, pulling it through and folding it like a wallet. The car disappears into the brush.
Fine! Take it!
We gotta get to that house.
At the mansion, Alan, Sarah, and the kids open the game.
Shouldn't we play someplace else?
No. I grew up in this. It's out there that scares me.
Okay, it's my turn.
Sarah? If you roll a 12, you win.
Okay, ready? Here I go.
She rolls a 3.
It's okay.
Every month at the quarter moon, there'll be a monsoon in your lagoon. Monsoon. Well, at least we're inside.
Judy nods, but Alan puts his coat over his head. Dark clouds roll over their heads, and rain splashes on the game. Judy, Peter, and Sarah get wet in the downpour.
Well, a little rain never hurt anybody.
Yeah, but a lot can kill you.
Come on. Alan gets the game, and they look around. They start climbing the stairs, now a flowing waterfall. A wave of water surges toward them, knocking them back into the hall. The game floats nearby.
You right, Peter?
A crocodile swims around a corner.
Judy?
Alan?
What?
What is that?
A table floats up out of the water, and they swim toward it. They climb onto it.
Keep going! Stay on the table! Peter! Get out of the water!
The croc snaps at Peter's legs.
On the chandelier!
Alan lifts the kids and the game onto the chandelier. The crocodile lunges, and the table tips, knocking Peter into the water. Sarah slides down the table and stops with her feet on the croc's jaws. Another crocodile is heading for Peter. Alan fishes Peter out of the water by his tail. Alan jumps into the water and climbs on the crocodile's back.
Okay, okay.
Judy hugs Peter. Sarah reaches for the chandelier. Alan wrestles the crocodile underwater. The crocodile rises out of the water with Alan's arms around its jaws. Nora is outside the mansion trying to get the door open.
Judy? Peter?
Ma'am, step back and let me handle this, please. It's probably nothing.
They probably left the TV on too loud.
Peter? Judy?
I always wanted to do this. Could you step back, please?
Carl takes out his gun and kicks the double doors. Water streams out through tiny holes. The doors burst open and a flood of water knocks Carl and Nora backwards. Inside, Alan swims toward the chandelier. The current pulls Alan toward the door. He fights it and finally grabs Peter's outstretched hands. Carl and Nora float down the street on the doors. A crocodile swims between them. Alan opens the door to the attic. Sarah and the kids follow him in. Peter shuts the door. Alan puts the game on the crate, and they sit around it.
Okay, it's my turn.
I've got it. Colonel Mustard in the library with the wrench.
Sarah stares and Peter rolls his eyes.
Clue.
He rolls a 7, and the elephant moves, stopping 3 spaces from the end.
Beware the ground on which you stand. The floor is quicker than the sand.
The attic floor liquefies, and Alan sinks up to his waist.
Okay, help me. Okay, stay calm. Don't struggle. Stay calm.
I'm calm.
Grab on!
Judy holds out a music stand.
Okay, I got it.
The stand comes apart in the middle. Judy grabs the game.
Stay home!
Peter gets a trombone.
Come on!
Oh, good!
Alan grabs the trombone slide as Judy's token moves. The slide comes off.
Stop giving me things that come apart!
There is a lesson.
All right!
Sarah slides aboard toward Alan, only his face and hands are still showing.
There is a lesson you will learn.
Sarah reaches for him.
Oh, I got you.
Sometimes you must go back a turn.
The quicksand hardens.
Oh.
Did I hurt you?
Oh, no.
Hello, dear.
Oh, thank you, Judy. Thank you. That was very quick thinking. Sarah and I would like to get out of the floor. So it's your turn, Peter.
Okay.
Peter and Judy go to the game. Alan's face and hands are sticking out of the floor, and Sarah's arms are trapped around him.
I thought I lost you, Kim.
Thanks for sticking around this time.
He touches her face and smiles.
Need a hand? Why, you just wait. We'll help you out. We each have 8.
Giant spiders descend from the ceiling and crawl toward them.
What's that? For nothing.
He sees the spiders in a mirror.
Peter, my dad kept an axe in the woodshed. Go get it. Hurry, go.
Peter runs out the door. Judy picks up the music stand and knocks a spider into the hall. A spider tickles Sarah's leg. Judy bats the spider away. Peter runs down the vine-covered stairs and out the side of the house as Nora comes in the front door. She looks around, horrified. Peter runs to the woodshed. It's locked. He picks up a nearby axe and starts banging on the lock. Then he looks at the axe, seems to look at us, and runs back inside. Nora is looking around upstairs.
Judy? Peter?
Ah! No!
She sees Alan's legs dangling through the ceiling. She opens her bedroom door and sees the lion. She shuts the door and sees Peter running with the axe.
Aunt Nora, it's me, Peter!
She backs into a closet and boxes fall on top of her. Peter shuts the door and locks it.
Sorry, I can't talk right now. I'll explain later.
Sarah!
What?
It's your turn! It's your turn! You can finish if you roll a 7!
I can't roll!
Put the dice in your mouth!
Judy! Ooh. Bring the game! Hurry!
Judy lifts the game and a purple flower shoots poisonous barbs at her neck.
Judy!
Peter cuts the vine with the axe. Judy pulls the barbs out of her neck.
Judy, are you okay? I'm fine. Help them.
Peter goes after the spiders, and Judy takes the game to Sarah.
Come on, Judy!
She sets it on Alan's face.
Give me the dice!
Judy puts the dice in Sarah's mouth, and she spits them onto the board. Peter continues chopping at the spiders. Judy collapses.
You're almost there with much at stake. Now the ground begins to quake.
Judy!
A spider approaches Sarah and Alan. Alan blows at it.
I wish Mom and Dad were here.
So do I.
Suddenly, the spiders scurry away and the house begins to shake. Peter holds Judy.
Her only chance is if we finish the game!
Oh my God!
The the attic floor cracks open and Sarah hangs on to Alan. The whole house and the ground beneath it is splitting down the middle. The game is on the edge.
Get the game! The game!
Game falls through the crack and lands on a board hanging over the edge below. Alan loses his grip. He grabs some vines and swings above the crack in the second floor.
Alan!
The vines peel off the ceiling and he swings toward the lion. He swings down to the first floor, grabs the game, and crashes through the French doors into the living room. He opens the game and picks up the dice.
Don't move.
He looks up and sees Van Pelt.
Stand up.
He stands.
What's in your hand? Drop it.
Alan shrugs and drops the dice. One lands on the board and rolls a one, while the other bounces away on the floor. It falls into a crack and bounces down some stairs.
End of the line, Sonny Jim. Game's up. Start running.
Sarah runs in.
No.
Aren't you afraid?
I'm terrified. What my father told me. You should always face what you're afraid of.
Good lad. You're finally acting like a man. Any last words?
The wayward die finally stops and rolls a two. Alan looks down and sees his elephant reach the end of the game. The glass circle says Jumanji.
Jumanji.
Oh.
Jumanji.
No, Alan, no!
Sarah runs in front of Alan. Van Pelt's bullet hovers in front of her. A strong wind blows it back. The gun disintegrates and Van Pelt looks at his empty hands. Breaks and the elephants, rhinos, zebras, and monkeys fly backwards into the room. They swirl around the ceiling like a merry-go-round nightmare. Van Pelt screams as he's sucked into the whirlwind. Alan hugs Sarah tightly. They look at each other and kneel. The animals and Van Pelt form a tornado that touches down on the Jumanji game, and they're sucked into the center circle. Alan looks down at Van Pelt, whose face is the last thing to disappear. Alan and Sarah are kids again, kneeling and hugging over the coffee table in front of the fireplace. As they pull apart and open their eyes, Sarah looks at Alan and her mouth falls open. Alan licks his bottom lip and touches the cut on his mouth. They hug joyfully.
Forgot my speech notes.
Alan's dad stomps in the front door. Alan gets up and hugs him.
I'm so glad you're back.
Mr. Parrish stands stiffly.
I've only been gone 5 minutes.
Seems like a lot longer to me.
Yeah, I thought you told me you were never going to talk to me again.
Whatever I said, Dad, I'm sorry.
Look, Alan, I was angry. I'm sorry, too. Sorry.
He hugs his son.
You don't have to go to Cliffside if you don't want to.
He looks at Sarah in the living room.
Let's talk it over tomorrow. Man to man.
How about father to son?
Great. Hey, I gotta get going. I'm the guest of honor.
Dad?
Mr. Parrish turns around.
Back in 1960. I mean, today in the factory, it wasn't Carl Bentley's fault. I put the shoe on the conveyor belt.
Glad you told me, son. Thanks.
Bye, Dad.
Goodbye.
Mr. Parrish smiles and leaves. Alan wipes his eye and returns to the living room.
Holy smokes, Judy and Peter!
Alan! They're not there. It's 1969. They don't even exist yet.
She puts Judy and Peter's playing pieces in his hand. He stares at them. Later that night, they have bricks tied to the Jumanji game, and Alan throws it off a bridge. They turn and look at each other.
I'm starting to forget what it's like to be a grown-up.
That's okay. As long as we don't forget each other.
Or Judy and Peter. Alan, there's something I've been wanting to do. And I better do it before I feel too much like a kid.
She puts her hands on either side of his face and kisses him on the mouth. She walks away and he grins. Then he joins her next to his bike.
They probably don't teach driver training in the sixth grade, huh?
A woman is playing the piano, and an older Carl is playing the guitar. A grown-up and pregnant Sarah is passing hors d'oeuvres. She sees something and hurries to another room where Alan, dressed as Santa, is on the phone.
Oh, Dad, no, it's a new cross-trainer. It's doing fabulous. No, it's not a bra, it's a shoe. And listen, Dad, I gotta run. Yeah, Merry Christmas. We'll pick you up tomorrow at the airport, okay? It'll be the best Christmas gift of all. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Here?
Bye, Nick.
Pardon me. Jim. Glad you could make it.
Thanks. Hi. This is my wife, Martha.
Hi, Martha. This is Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Where are the kids?
Oh, my God, there they are.
Peter and Judy walk up.
How'd you know? I guess. Of course, they're your kids.
Well, you're right. These are our children. Judy and Peter, kids, say hi to Mr. and Mrs. Parrish.
Nice to meet you.
Alan takes off his beard and hat.
You're just like we remembered you.
Sarah looks at Alan.
I feel like we know so much about them because, you know, that.
You've told Alan so much about them.
Yeah, and I told her.
Yeah.
I'll go get the presents.
Sure, honey. Well, we love children.
Merry Christmas.
So, when can you start?
Well, actually, Martha and I were thinking of taking a little skiing holiday up in the Canadian Rockies.
No!
Sorry. We just...
need you to get that marketing done on the new line, pronto.
Okay. No problem. You know, I could probably start next week.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, let me introduce you to the rest of the folks around here you'll be working with, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Come on in. Our house was your house.
Is.
Anytime you like.
More guests file into the mansion, which is decorated outside with Christmas lights and luminarias. Two girls are walking on a beach. A subtitle reads, "What's that noise?" Half buried in the sand is the Jumanji game.